kind of on the
losing end. I mean, I thought there should be some kind of time limit. So.
Yeah. But, okay. I should maybe ask.
I think he knows it. It's spot on.
Okay. I got everybody now. My sound guy needs to get to Sioux Falls tonight. And so some of us have to travel a great distance to get home. And so, Mr. Wirt, back on the record, you're still under oath. You told me off the record you have a couple more points you'd like to make, so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get to those.
Okay. And I remember during the break, too, I was shocked when their eagle expert talked about part of the nest collapsing. We've been over there twice since I found out the nest was abandoned. We've been underneath the nest. I did not see any part of the nest that had fallen down. We've looked at the nest through binoculars. I did not observe that. On the view from my house, exactly why we picked the spot for our new house, a small hill with an amazing view to the buttes, and then refer to that picture. To place a turbine in that would gradually diminish the value of my property. Common sense tells you that. So the Google Earth picture shows my house and two neighbors' houses that have turbines blocking their views to the rainy buttes. And they are also non-participating landlords. These are the only two turbines. And the two turbines are on sections 36 and section 25, 13697. And so I drew a line from the homes through the turbine to the view of the buttes. That's what's on that Google Earth map. These are the only two turbines in the entire wind farm that block any residence's view to the buttes. That's all I have on that. On the media thing, this is the full-page ad that NextEra had in the paper, talking about investing in the future, supporting wind as an investment in the future, and the money that would go to the school. This is how they were winning the PR battle, basically, convincing people. Everybody wants money for the school. It was $8.5 million over the first 30 years of the project. 2 weeks after the county commission voted to approve it, the school superintendent, which has a weekly article in the New England paper, and that's what's on that page, notes from New England School, he said this is a little misleading because the state will deduct 75% of the revenue from the state aid payments we are projected to receive. For example, if we receive $575,000 from the wind farm, the state would reduce our state aid payment by $431,000 and $250. So this is, to me, very disingenuous to win the hearts and minds of the community to put that information out there, and it's not accurate. And lastly is my comments on the local government. Brian said at the Brady One hearing, it's not your first rodeo. And it's not. I don't know, you've had at least 10, 12 wind farms you guys have had hearings on. It's not NextEra's first rodeo either. They've got wind farms all across this country. They're a big $50 billion company. But this is the first rodeo of the Hedinger County, a small local government. They didn't know which questions to ask. In fact, at the hearing, they asked no questions. A two-hour hearing where people stood up to speak their minds, they asked no questions. You guys have, what, 10, 15-hour hearings, and you ask questions of just about every witness. They had a two-hour hearing. Immediately followed that meeting, they had their vote. You guys go back, you research all the data, all the evidence that was presented to make your decision. I think the county government was winning way over their heads, and all they made their decision on was about the money. A county government that is not equipped to make this decision. And I believe the PSC is reluctant to override the local government. But the PSC needs to step up to the plate and protect the rights of non-participating landlords. Protect the eagle population by making sure guidelines are followed and setbacks are preserved. And home values are also preserved. Push a common sense turbine layout. And when a $50 billion Florida company does things that aren't on the up and up, show them how things are done the North Dakota way. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Wirt. Mr. Biella, questions for Mr. Wirt?
Just Just a couple questions. Just to confirm, you requested those two turbines be removed from your view shed, and they were removed, isn't that correct?
The turbines on section 35 and 20, which two turbines?
The two you complained about that were in your view shed to Rainy Buttes, the company agreed to remove them and did so, isn't that correct?
That is not correct.
How is that not correct?
They're on the layout right there, section 25 and 36.
The two that you complained about?
That were in my view shed to the Rainy Buttes have not been removed.
In the eastern view,
Actually complained about those two turbines to next, yes, I did, I'm sorry, I did. I did complain about those two turbines.
On your eastern view shed, and those were removed, right?
The two, yes.
Okay. What is your college education and expertise in avian studies and eagles?
I have none.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Pelham, questions for Mr. Wirt.
Thank you, Mr. Wirt. Just a couple questions about her testimony about the Fish and Wildlife Service and the buffer that is proposed around the Golden Eagle. I'm wondering, sir, what you think of the buffer that's been proposed by the Fish and Wildlife Service and seemingly accepted. Do you accept that or do you disagree with that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous just based on the ECP guidance. If they tell you that the home range is 4 miles.
But do you disagree with the Fish and Wildlife Service acceptance of that buffer? That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I understand you disagree with the company on that, but apparently...
Yeah, I'm not sure why the U.S. Fish and Wildlife... that kind of surprised me when you read that, because their guidance states that they have a 4 mile home range. And there's setbacks in Europe. They're up to 6 kilometers. I think Brian had mentioned 2 miles at the Brady 1 hearing. I'm just shocked at that number, I guess, how they can feel that's acceptable. But maybe it was based on the fact that they testified that the eagle didn't fly that far, which we know isn't true, or that it flew past or below the 200 meters. So was the information they got to agree to that setback, was it accurate information?
And that was going to be my next question, is that you questioned possibly whether or not that information was correct. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. And you don't know that for sure. You're just saying that that's a possibility, or I'm just trying to understand.
I don't know what for sure I'm understanding.
Well, I mean, the information that you're saying that may not have been accurate provided to the Fish and Wildlife Service by Brady Wind.
Well, he testified to that.
I understand that.
Okay.
But are you saying...
It's not accurate, yes.
Okay.
Based on my questioning the technicians who are out there, yes.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions for you, Mr. Thank you.
Ms. Prescott.
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners, Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you for your testimony. I think I get all your points, and I appreciate the thoroughness of your preparation. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Okay. I know Commissioner Kalk has to get home before dark.
Sorry.
My motherly instinct, since he's on a motorcycle, I want him to get home before dark. But I still have some questions I need to ask, so I'm sorry. The petition that requested the 75 or three-quarter mile or mile setback from non-participating landers, we kind of got interrupted before we finished that. What happened with that?
So NextEra was supposed to come back with a map showing the layout and how many turbines would be affected, which is what I showed you there.
Mm-hmm.
And the county just decided they weren't going to make NextEra do anything. They didn't want to put undue burden on them, basically, is what I got from the meeting.
And where did you come up with that distance? I know you said it was the miles, in Tioga, but why is a mile?
The mile was based on the fact that we can have a one-mile setback from the Enchanted Highway. Why can't we have it from people's homes?
Okay.
And that's what Plan A was. And then as I had these people sign the petition, I said, well, let's have a Plan B. If they don't go for that, let's go for a three-quarter mile setback from non-participating landowners. And they did go with a half a mile from non-participating, which is more than the county. The county to this day has not changed their quarter mile setback. They just don't feel that there's a need to. In fact, one of the zoning members asked, what's wrong with the quarter mile setback? And I proceeded to read from the contract. There's 13 things they talk about, shadow, flicker, vibration, all these things listed in the contract. I said, that's what's wrong with a quarter mile. Mm-hmm. But they were in over their heads, to be honest with you.
Okay. I want to say how much I appreciate the fact that you got involved early and tried to do all of this. I mean, you have a full-time job, I'm assuming, and This is a lot of work. You can't ask for much more than this from citizens. So I really do very much appreciate that, and that you tried to get this done on the front end and, right. and do it through the processes that exist. And you know a lot more about the processes than most people. So, you know, kudos to you for that. My question on the, can you read your final statement again? You listed, I think, three things that you wanted us to do. Setbacks preserved for eagles, I think it was.
Protect the rights of non-participating landlords.
Okay.
Which includes the view shed. Protect the eagle population, making sure that the guidelines, ECP guidelines, are followed, which would be your two-year study during multiple seasons. I can't believe the game, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife is not enforcing that when they just had the one avian point count survey during the breeding season. And preserve home values and push a common sense turbine layout. I don't know what your feelings are on that map, but when I look at it, it looks ridiculous to me.
I try not to have an opinion of where the turbines should go because it's based on wind resource and a whole bunch of other factors. So I don't think we have an expectation on how these necessarily look.
I think that would look a lot better if you didn't have big chunks of non-participating landlords. That's why it goes up and around those people. Those are non-participating.
I would like to see it squared off and yes. have participating landowners inside there, even if there wasn't turbines. But I will say to somewhat of the companies how this has evolved, they've listened to us in previous hearings, and we've asked them to take out of the footprint non-participating landowners.
Right.
So they used to be more squared off. And then in response to us saying, why are you including non-participating right. landowners well, in the project
81.
Layout, they
right.
did this. Well, even goes back further to some projects in Jamestown, et cetera. So anyway, that's, you know, not entirely, we aren't entirely without blame for that.
The non-participating residents in those two areas where it goes around were offered turbines, but they chose not to sign up.
Right.
They're not just people that never got offered turbines. So the wind resource was there.
Yeah. Okay, so what I wanted to ask you was, on the non-participating landowners, and this is my last question. So your new house, is it the one further south and west?
No, north and east.
North and east, okay. So how many miles do you think you should be able to have for a view shed that is kind of unobstructed?
Well, when you have a landmark like that, it all depends on, I guess I don't want a turbine right in the middle of that view shed to that landmark.
So here's where the rub is on all of this.
Okay.
Where does your right to a view impede somebody else's right to develop their land how they want with wind resources? That's at the heart of all of this.
Right.
And that's why you see this M. Some people want it, and they think they have the right to have it, and legally they do. And other people don't want it, and they have the right to say they don't want it.
Right.
The question is, how much right do they have to say that their neighbors don't get it?
Well, and then on the flip side of that, can they infringe on my rights, too?
Well, how far do they extend beyond the land that you own? Right. You know, I guess that's
the And I've
question.
Got plenty of turbines to look at. It's just not, you know, they're all to the northwest, to the north, and to the northeast.
Right.
So I've got them surrounded that way. But my view to the south is open, and my view to the buttes was open. If I could, they could put them in a lot of places that wouldn't bother me, but those two right in front of the buttes is just, it's a game breaker for me. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But it's just.
I hear what you're saying. It's just mm-hmm. those are the
I know
questions
the property rights issue, yes.
Wrestle with.
And I have land a mile from New England. Should I have the right to put a nuclear waste site there?
Yeah. Or what if your neighbor across the road builds something that impedes your view, builds a big house or granary or something else
well, and that
gets in the way.
I don't think that would happen really in our country with a 30-foot grain bin or 27-foot grain bin, whatever they typically are. But when you're talking about a 400-foot wind tower, that's
right.
a very unique structure.
Yep. You know, I live in town, so it's a little different, but I moved into a neighborhood and I didn't have anybody living across me, and they plopped up houses over there and it ruined my view to the west. Now I'm in town, but it's not that different. You know, the things around you change. And so this is the balance that we have to get at, is how much do we get to control outside of our property boundary what goes on.
But when you live in town, you kind of sign up for that. You know that there's going to be development in streets.
It's different, but it's the same.
When you live out in the country in rural North Dakota, especially southwestern North Dakota, you don't expect this. If I did, I wouldn't have built the house where I did.
Right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I really appreciate, like I said, your time and your effort, and we'll carefully consider what you've laid out, John.
Okay, thanks.
Commissioner Christman.
I'm sorry, I seen it earlier, but where's your residence?
Southwest quarter of 28, 13696. There's two houses on that quarter.
Okay, yeah, got it now. And when you say the two turbines that are blocking your view
Correct.
Are in sections 26 and 36?
25 and 36, I believe it is.
25 and 36.
And actually, just the one. Section 36 blocks my view. Section 25 blocks the view of the other two residents.
And when you talk about section 25, you're just talking about that one on the south half, or are
Southeast.
You also talking about the two that are in the northwest quarter?
No, just the one in the south half.
So turbines 48 and 49 are, besides that you're not in favor of the wind farm.
Right.
But those two are the two that
those
have
are
to
the
do
critical
with
ones
your
for me,
view
yes.
shed of
That's
the,
right.
the butte. Okay. And I just want to make sure, because this is going to be fodder for a work session at some point. Your testimony is that there is an active prairie dog town in this project area.
Those two that I cited are both active prairie dog
well,
towns.
One's in Brady 1, correct?
Correct.
But there is one in Brady 2 as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
Thanks for all your work on this
you
and
bet.
For coming back again.
Thank you, Mr. Wirt. Thank you for your organization, too. Hey, there's people standing. I'm going to... Okay, did you raise your hand earlier? Because I missed it if you did. Come on up. Man in the purple shirt. I guess my wife would tell me that's something other than purple, lavender or something. How many more want to testify? That it? This is the last person? No, I see one. Okay. Okay. Dale, anybody else? Okay, all right, because we got to wrap this up. So, sir, did you sign the sign-in sheet?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and your name?
My name is Curtis Steyer.
Okay, so you had a family member that testified already today, is that right?
No, I did not. I had a cousin that testified today
okay.
already, so.
Okay, I'm going to have to, first I'll have you raise your right hand. You've been in the room when I've given the perjury admonition?
Yes, I have.
Okay. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. And now I need to get your name. Kurt Steyer?
Steyer, yes, Kurt Steyer.
And you live where?
I live in Bismarck, North Dakota, but my mother lives on land that's in the project area.
And is she participating in the
yes,
project?
Yes, she is.
Okay, and so you support the project?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, just some background information. My mother lives in section 3, 13697, and we have turbines 17, 18, 19, and 20. And, I'm obviously in support of the project. My mom and dad elected several years ago to go ahead and to place this one section of land into a life estate. And I have 12, including myself, I have 12 family members. And so when this came about, there were 12 individuals that we had to work with in order to have them sign the agreement to become part of this project. And this started in October, and We worked long and hard to try and convince people to do this. And part of the reason was because my mother is entitled to all the income that comes off of this one section. And so this would be a significant boost to her overall income. And so I thought that that was important, that we look at this project for her benefit. I feel that this project should be approved for several reasons, and one is that the project has minimal environmental impact. I know that the North Dakota Department of Health basically deals with air, water, and soil issues, and the only concerns that they had for this particular project was that the project maintain a stormwater permit and that they follow their stormwater protection plan. And so they're basically looking at this as a construction project, so that they need to control if there's any stormwater runoff and to control dust and so on during the construction phase. Those are the only concerns that they had. This project is not an eminent domain project. I mean, there are landowners that want to be part of this project and have committed to this project from the beginning. And I also feel that the project is required to meet all the county and the state requirements, and I think that it has. And I think that when you start looking at setbacks, what are you trying to protect? What are you trying to protect with these setbacks? And I think that that's significant. I think with the setbacks, you're trying to minimize the amount of noise. You're trying to minimize the amount of flicker. You're trying to minimize those issues. The project where my mother lives right now, she's receptor 501138. This project, she's a participating in the project. She has the greatest amount of shadow flicker, and she also has the turbine that is the closest to her residence. So we're the closest. And I feel that the setbacks are more than adequate to address those issues. And I visited with my mother on this as well, and she feels comfortable with the project as is. And I think that that's very important. Another thing that I want to mention is that I've learned an awful lot in this whole process. And I really have to tip my hat to the Public Service Commission, because all of these documents are all out on their website. And so you can go out and look at those things. Your workshops are also available online, so that you can go out and watch those and listen to them. And I feel that there's a huge amount of transparency there with the commission and with the participants and the non-participants. There's a lot of things that you have to wade through, but I feel good about that. I also know that I worked with Jerry Leon from your office, and he was more than helpful early on in giving me some guidance as far as how the commission handles wind farms. Basically, that's... Oh, one other thing. My concern right now, as far as the project is that... My biggest concern right now is that if the project is built, that there, with all of this construction activity going on, and the use of the roads, and the dust that might be generated, that when construction is going on, that they obviously follow their stormwater permit and make sure that they're doing the best that they can to prevent any stormwater runoff and looking at controlling dust. And the other is that I look at all the safety issues, in that my mom's going to be driving on these roads. And so I think about that all the time, in that you've got other people that are using these roads as well during this construction phase. And I think that that's really important. As far as the land is concerned, The land is pasture land. It's not agricultural land. It's not. It's used for hay land and pasture land, and that's basically it. It's never going to be used for raising any row crops or anything like that. Ideally, if you were going to go ahead and put in wind turbines, it would be on this section of land because it's along the top ridge. Any water to the north of that drains into the Heart River Basin. Anything to the south of that drains into the Cannonball River Basin. And if we stand on top of that bluff up there, I can see all the way to Dickinson. And I think I can see all the way to Amadon because it's right along that ridge. So I guess if you're ever going to site something like that, this would be the ideal place to put it. Plus, there are no significant roads going east and west on that county line. And so there would be some improvement on the roads in that area if this project is built. So that's all that I have.
Thank you, Mr. Steyer. Mr. Biala, questions for Mr. Steyer?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No.
Ms. Prescott?
No.
Commissioners?
Yeah, thank you for your testimony. You said you live in Bismarck?
Yes.
I would just encourage you to keep track of what we do on the website and all that for the legislative session coming up.
Okay.
There will be robust discussion about wind policy. So
okay, I'm sure there will be.
And the last thing I'll say is I might consider moving back to New England if your mom's still driving around town, because I know how old I am, and I'm guessing you're older than me, so good genetics around here.
Thank you.
Chairman Fedorchik.
No questions, but it's just an observation that you following John illustrates the conundrum we're in, because
said
the top of the ridge is the perfect spot to put the wind towers, and you know, clearly he feels just the opposite. So it's hard to believe that we can all see things so differently, but that's just the truth, and that's what we'll find our way through.
You know, the thing that I've learned in listening to your workshops and following your workshops is that I don't envy you at all. I mean, there's an awful lot of work that goes into this, and so I'm appreciative of that. And going through all these documents and all the paperwork and so on to try and piece all of this together, I mean, this isn't just the only projects that you're working on. You've got other ones as well. So I'm appreciative of that.
Commissioner.
Anything from Randy?
No questions, but thanks for being here, Curtis. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I just want to say in response to, I've got four kids. Two of them never agree on anything, and the only time the four of them ever agree is when they're disagreeing with me.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I think that, we got another one? Okay, Dale, Mr. Neswag, are you coming forward? The lady in the green shirt, are you planning to testify or?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I know your name, but I'm gonna have to have you state it for the record.
My name is Dale Neswag, spelled N like in November, I-E-Z-W-A-A-G, representing Basin Electric Power Cooperative.
All right, Mr. Neswag, I ask you to raise your right hand. I know you've been here throughout the day, so you've heard the perjury admonition. So do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
I hadn't planned on speaking. I will make it brief in the sake of time that's out here. I wanted to clear up a few things that have come up today. Number one, Basin Electric needs the power from this project. Our load forecast for the next 20 years shows a growth of 1,600 megawatts. 850 of those megawatts are in western North Dakota. If you want to cut that timeline down from 20 years, between 2015 and 2020, we will need 600 megawatts. 475 megawatts are in western North Dakota. So 80% of our needs in the next 5 years are western North Dakota. Due to current and anticipated regulations, there are too many unknowns and risks to build another coal-based generation unit, which would be a preferable way to go. We understand that we are going to work under a carbon-constrained future based upon the regulations that are coming out and the feelings of a lot of people in this country. Now, we understand that the current Clean Power Plan is under review, but in 2007, the Supreme Court ruled that CO2 is a pollutant and that EPA will regulate it. So even if the current plan does not continue, there will be another plan to replace it. So we just have to face facts that we're going to operate under a carbon-constrained future and coal produces the most CO2. The production tax credit has been mentioned several times today. That production tax credit is going to be fading away. So from basin's perspective, the best time to build wind is now while that production tax credit is still in play, even though that will be going in the next few years. When we build projects, when we need power, what we do is we submit RFPs, requests for proposals. We do that to develop and understand whether basin should build its own power facilities or where someone else can do it cheaper. We issue those, we take those requests in, and they are evaluated by a consultant to narrow them down to what is the best value for Basin Electric. We just got done with one in April of this year. We had 85 total proposals. 44 of those proposals were wind energy located in the state of North Dakota and South Dakota. So when we get those projects, we evaluate them on fuel type, size, location, duration, and price. They are narrowed down to the best values that are out there. We determine the project based on the best value. It is then up to the developer or the provider of that project to design, engineer, construct, and build the project. I believe that's all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Nieswag. Mr. Biella.
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham.
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Prescott.
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Dale. The had we not had the energy slowdown from oil, would your forecast needs be more urgent? Meaning that?
Yes, they would be. Yes, we've dropped our load forecast approximately 800, but about in half for Western North Dakota where it was.
So this oil slowdown has perhaps bought more time to get the energy infrastructure in place. But you just testified that the needs are still there. They haven't gone away.
Absolutely. Instead of our growth being at 1,600, it's at 800. Yes, we still have the need.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to lay that all out. I think it's helpful for us. It's also helpful for the folks here to kind of see what you guys think about. One thing we've heard a lot in the past, not so much at this, but a little bit at this hearing and certainly in the last, is that wind energy is driving costs up. Is that your experience with Basin, that the wind is what's driving the price of electricity up and resulting in increased electricity bills for folks?
I'd say there's several things that are driving costs up. Number one is we have to build new infrastructure. We have to build new transmission lines. We have to build generation. We are one of the few generation cooperatives in the United States that has this growth pattern, and we have to add assets. Anytime you add assets, it's going to raise the cost. If we could build a new coal plant, would a coal plant be cheaper? Probably, but we just don't have that ability to do that in where we're at right now.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
Mr. Chrisman.
Regarding Mr. Gardner's testimony, I think you were here for that.
Yes.
And I won't ask you to speculate on other companies' facilities, but are any of the Basin Electric coal plants curtailing their output ability?
Yes, we are curtailing some of our Leland Lowell stuff. Part of that is due to just the mild weather we've been in. Warm winters, cool summers, when loads are really down, we don't need a lot of generation. When the wind is blowing, the wind takes precedent over that. The other problem that we've got is we are now in a new market. We joined the Southeast Power Pool, which now regulates, and so we bid in our generation. The other portion that's causing that slowdown is the price of gas in Western North Dakota is so low that and we've put in, as you know, several thousand megawatts in Western North Dakota of gas generation. The gas price is so low that in our market, the gas units run before the coal units run. So it isn't just wind that's causing that, it's low gas prices as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Niesewak. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Because I think it's somewhat confusing to hear you say that there's curtailing going on, but you need power. Why don't you run everything you've got to its max first before you add new facilities and purchase more power?
Because loads change. We have enough generation. We are legally obligated to provide all the power needs of all of our members. And so we need that generation on the hottest days of the year and the coldest days of the year. When it's not those days, then we have to, you only bring on the amount of generation you need to supply the load. So we don't need everything running at max power unless it's absolutely the peak times of the year. Now that we are in a market, we bid in. Here's the price of a coal plant to run. Here's the price of natural gas generation in Western North Dakota to run. And here is wind, and wind run has precedence because you can't turn it on and off. So as load goes up, the lowest cost resource comes on first, and that's how it staggers in. So we don't need all that generation except for the worst times of the year. If we don't have that power, we are penalized by organizations.
So you build for the peak, curtail what you don't need when it isn't the peak.
Correct.
Curtail the most expensive generation.
We curtail the most expensive generation first. The cheapest comes on first. As loads build, more expensive power is added to the grid.
Thank you, Dale.
Go ahead, Commissioner Christman.
I'll have to add to that then. So these subsidized low-cost energy options that cause you to curtail a facility such as Leland Olds, when you do use Leland Olds because it's needed, does the cost per megawatt hour, I would presume, has to be higher than it would be if it ran full tilt all year round. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Niesewak. That concludes the public input section of the hearing. Mr. Biella, any rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. And folks out there, the reason I give the company an option for rebuttal is because they have the burden of proof. And so they get that in any court. Mr. Pelham, anything further for the record?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, commissioners?
Your Honor, just can I make a short comment?
You may.
Now, just with respect to the ego matter that has been raised, we just would like to call and remind the commission of the testimony of qualified experts and studies and reports in consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, including the lack of presence thereof, we believe, of the prairie dog talent. So that is in our documentation. It's in our evidence. We're not going to bring anybody back up, but we just want to call your attention that to please review our report as well with respect to prairie dog talents and the other eagle matters when you review this. Thank you.
Okay. And that's all you have for concluding remarks?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham, concluding remarks? Okay. We could do this first, I guess. I was thinking June 22nd for proposed findings. Is that a workable deadline, about 2 weeks?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, closing remarks.
Well, thank you for saving time for my 30-minute closing remark.
Don't forget, there's deer moving around about this time of night.
I'll just say, first off, thank you to all of you for being here today. And I'll also say thank you for the way that you conducted yourselves in this wind hearing. We've had wind hearings before and power line hearings before where they've gotten out of hand. In the end of the day, you're all living in the same community. You're all going to go to church together and play basketball together and go to the Slope Electric annual meeting. So you can't unsay something and undo something in these hearings. So I appreciate the decorum. I appreciate the candidness of your testimony. And now it's up to us to go back and do the best we can with the decision. So just thank you all.
Chairman Fedorchak.
Well, a number of you have mentioned how you don't envy being in our position and, you know, recognizing that these are difficult decisions to make. And because of that, the legislature recognizes that too and has spelled out a pretty solid process that exists for making these decisions. And you've heard the company talk about that. You've heard our attorneys talk about it. You've heard some members of the public reference There's 9 different types of exclusionaries where things cannot be constructed. There's 7 avoidance areas. They need to be avoided or shown that they can't be avoided. There's 23 selection criteria, and there's 13 policy criteria. It comes down to those factors, everybody. Companies that meet those requirements under law are, you know, we have to have some valid reason not to provide the permit if they meet those requirements under law. So this is how we wade through these difficult decisions. You've provided a lot of good information today to help us get to that end, and I really appreciate you taking the time and being so thoughtful and respectful in doing that. We cherish North Dakota, we cherish these areas as well, and we want to do the best thing for all of you. So thank you very much.
Hey, Commissioner Christman, you get the last word.
Most everything's been said. I'll also thank everybody for being here. I want to just elaborate on what Julie said about some people have made comments about not envying us our jobs. Never feel sorry for us. I couldn't be more proud of my colleagues. I think that you'll never hear, I would hope, discussion of our meetings being what we've heard some accusations about some county meetings over the years. I think we really do our best to give people a fair chance, and then we go back and make tough decisions. But the people who probably really should be commended, because my friend Bob Stengem, who used to be our majority leader in the Senate, used to say, it's lonely at the top, but you eat good. And I kind of feel that way with us. But our staff, like Julie Prescott over here, and people that we have on contract, like Zach and the judge, they work really hard too, and they don't even get the kudos that we get from time to time, and deserve our commendation as well as our great court reporter. So thanks, everybody.
Okay, and I guess with that, I'll also ditto my thanks. I apologize if anybody feels like I cut them off or I responded angrily to an outburst, but it is important for me to keep the hearing orderly and give everybody their chance, and I feel that we did that today. We had a good, fair hearing. So I'm going to close the hearing on the application of Brady Wynn 2, case number PU-16-42, is closed subject to the filing of late-filed exhibits, so our sound man can get to Sioux Falls, and those of us driving small vehicles can get back before the deer start moving. So thanks very much, everyone.